Let's get ready to rumble!
It's the Bullpen here on Chicago's Radio. Josh and Bully with you. And we have a luxury doing a weekly sports show. And the luxury is that a lot of things happen. And it fills up that 1 hour very quickly. And that being said, there are lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of wheeling and dealing. I think the theme for this week's show is the trades or lack thereof.
Oh, big time.
I think that's we're going to be talking about a lot of trades that could have happened, that have happened, and that might happen. And we're going to start it all off with the trade that didn't happen. Last week, when we kind of wrapped up on Tuesday, we were kind of looking forward towards the NBA trade deadline, what that meant for the Toronto Raptors, who have been struggling since coming out of the All-Star break. Like half their roster had COVID. They were missing a lot of guys. And two names kind of jumped to the top of the list in terms of guys likely to be dealt at the trade deadline. And they both so happen to be Raptors players. And that was Norm Powell and Kyle Lowry. Now, I sat here and said, I'm thinking both are gone.
Well, I thought Lowry for sure, because he's leaving at the end of the season anyway. Well, I can't see him coming back unless they give him 2 years.
I thought for sure it was Norm Powell, because I based it on pure volume. More teams were interested in Norman Powell, which made me feel like a trade would likely
get done. $10 million and $30 million are two big differences.
Two big differences. So as the trade deadline kind of inched closer and closer, 3 p.m. on Thursday, a lot of rumors were coming through. Norm Powell, like a dozen teams were calling about Norman Powell. And then Kyle Lowry, three teams. We knew of Philadelphia, we knew about Miami, and then out of nowhere, the LA Lakers showed up, and they were part of the discussion. Again, we got closer and closer to 3 p.m., then Norman Powell got traded. Norman Powell got traded to the Portland Trail Blazers for Gary Trent Jr. and Rodney Hood.
I was shocked that he went to Portland, actually.
I'm not shocked in the sense that Portland wanted more scoring, but I'm shocked that Portland gave up a good portion of their scoring for Norm Powell. Because the differences between Norman Powell and Gary Trent in terms of points per game, it's just a couple of points. Yeah. I think Gary Trent's like 15 and a half a game, where Norman Powell's getting inching closer to 20, but that's because he's had to play so much. It's a career year, and everyone kind of was up in arms about it. Like, did you get enough? You basically got a younger version of Norm Powell. Gary Trent right now is what Norman Powell was 5 years ago. Norman Powell is a 26, 27-year-old now. Yeah. Gary Trent Jr. is only 22. So I assume, and I'm going to forecast, that in the next year or two, he's going to fill those shoes very easily of Norman Powell, making that $10 million a year.
I was shocked that he's been here for 6 years. I didn't think Norman Powell's been here for 6 years.
Second-round pick at a UCLA, I think.
Yeah, wow, I didn't realize he was here that long.
A long run.
So that just tells you how much dues he had to pay just to get playing time.
Well, I think you can say that for any Raptors player. I think a lot of those guys had to pay their dues. Yeah. Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, all those guys. So we knew Norman Powell was traded. Again, inching closer towards that 3 p.m. deadline, mock trades started kind of coming out. Okay, well, if the Lakers want Kyle Lowry, it's these three players. If Miami wants Kyle Lowry, well, they have to throw in these players. But, you know, the Raptors want Tyler Hero. And then for the Sixers, they would have to throw in, I think the trade for them was this guy, Tyrese Maxey, who's a 20-year-old rookie from Kentucky. Matisse Thybulle, I think, is 22. And then two first-round picks. That's what Toronto wanted out of Philadelphia, but Philadelphia was kind of unwilling to move that much. And then Miami was the same thing. Toronto wanted Tyler Hero. Miami was only willing to give up Duncan Robinson. You know, there's a five-year age difference between the two players. Obviously, Tyler Hero has a much bigger upside. Both great three-point shooters. And then L.A. was going to have to give up some veteran players off their team, plus this guy named Horton Tucker, Talen Horton Tucker. But I guess L.A. didn't want to give him up either. And again, probably around 10-2, that's when things started getting cuckoo bananas.
It always does.
Yeah, Philadelphia traded for point guard George Hill from OKC, so that effectively eliminated Philadelphia from the trade discussion. And then right at 3 o'clock, the reports came out that Miami was trading for Victor Oladipo rather than Kyle Lowry. And what was interesting regarding that is minutes before that happened, Toronto traded Matt Thomas and Terrence Davis.
Yeah.
Both bench depth pieces, trade them for second round picks. So basically throwaways. And when you see stuff like that, it raises an eyebrow because you're like, oh, they need roster spots. That's what they're doing. They're going to get a bunch of players. They need to fill those roster spots. So they got to get rid of some guys. That didn't happen. They didn't trade Kyle Lowry. 3 p.m. passes. And Masai Ujiri said, quote, in the heat of the moment, he was surprised nobody came up to meet the Raptors price tag for Kyle Lowry. Do you think Bobby Webster and Masai Ujiri dropped the ball regarding the trade deadline?
100%. Sometimes you gotta give a little get. You know what? It happens in every sport. If you're going to lose them, and with the new rules and all the collective bargaining and all these sports, you don't get it. If he just walks away, you might as well get rid of him. Like, let's be honest. Where's the Raptors going this year?
Nowhere.
Hey, if anything, their last game I watched, they looked like they had no life.
Yeah.
Like, no life. I mean, if Norman Powell was that big a deal on your team, then you got problems.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. He was a guy that's having a good year, but, you know, he was a bench player.
He didn't change your standing.
No.
Right? So they were bad with him. They were bad without him.
Terrible the other day.
It's, you know.
Are they sick of the coach already?
I don't think that's what it is. So Masai put together a championship team, right? He went all in on 2019, and he put together a great team. The unfortunate thing is all that greatness that was on the roster left for nothing.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard walked away. We kind of knew that was going to happen. Serge Ibaka, Danny Green, Marc Gasol, all those guys walked away for nothing. And now you're sitting there with the greatest player in franchise history in terms of importance.
Yeah.
And you have an opportunity to get something for him, fully knowing that more than likely he's going to leave at the end of the year. And you didn't pull the trigger because you overplayed your hand. You thought that with these teams wanting to make a run at a championship, staring down the barrel of 3 p.m., that you could strong-arm someone into giving you the farm for Kyle Lowry. And unfortunately for Masai Ujiri, he was playing against three very smart GMs and presidents. You're talking about Pat Riley.
Yeah, he's a winner.
You're talking about Daryl Morey, and you're talking about, I cannot remember his name, but he was Kobe's old agent, who's the GM for the Lakers.
Who's the GM this week? Isn't LeBron the GM?
LeBron's hurt, so he's taking a sabbatical.
Yeah, I know. I can't think of the guy's name.
I can't think of his name either. But he was Kobe's agent, and they're all smart business guys, and they understand the value of the players that are on their roster, and they weren't going to get fooled into giving up a 21-year-old, you know, budding star or 20-year-old rookie for a 35-year-old point guard who you might get for 20 games.
Yeah.
It's just it wasn't realistic.
It's a very hefty price tag for a rent.
Yeah. That being said, is there a possibility that Kyle Lowry could throw the Raptors a bone and do a sign-and-trade? Absolutely. I don't expect him to do that, but he could agree to a two-year, $50 million contract, and then he get traded somewhere else, and then that's the deal that they agreed on.
I mean, he's 30.
He's just turned 35.
35, so he's probably in the summer going to look for a three-year deal. I mean, two would be unbelievable. But I say he's going to be set for his life because he's making $30 million as it is right now. But I was shocked because I watched the game and I watched him when he went off the court, and it was like he's gone.
That Wednesday night game,
he's gone.
Right?
He's gone.
He you know gave the peace sign to the crowd. Gone. Drake FaceTimed him during his press conference.
I mean, everybody was. He's gone.
Everyone felt confident that
the announcers were crying. I mean, everybody it was unbelievable. Like it was more of a shock
that he was
past the deadline and he wasn't traded.
Yeah.
I think it's more embarrassing than anything.
Me too.
Because you're almost like, where's his head now? Because you know you can always get away with it, but if it was right in Toronto, he has to come back with a bad game, and you're going to have fans all over him because we know how our fans are. They're only as good as your last game. And it just – it was shocking. Someone dropped the ball, and it's obviously you got to put the blame on
Masai
because he's the one that pulls the trigger.
You know, the three teams that were in the hunt, you talk about L.A., Philadelphia, Miami, all contenders, all have a glaring hole at point guard. All of them.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, yes, is their point guard, but he's not a great shooter. So, you know, he could go back and forth with Kyle Lowry quite effectively. When you're looking at Miami, it's Goran Dragic and Kendrick Nune. Okay, they need a little bit of help at point guard. And for the Lakers, it's Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Lowry's a better player than Dennis Schroeder. No offense to Dennis Schroeder. So you had all three of these teams in the palm of your hand, but you just got way too overzealous with what your expectations were. If Kyle Lowry was 32 or 33 and maybe had 1 year left on his deal and it was a full season, okay, you might be able to pull that trade off. But on a condensed year where he's 35 and is looking for, you know, another $50 million in the future, you know, how do you make that work? It's really hard.
And you know what it is, Josh? A lot of times now is you're seeing it. There's so much speculation on this rent a player that if it doesn't work, oh, man, you can't live it down.
Yeah.
And because it's a hefty price. If you can sneak one in there, people love it. But if you have to pay something for someone that was really good,
yeah,
and then they come to your team and they're really not as good as you think, you're like, wow.
Well, how do you look if you're Daryl Morey, the GM for the Sixers, and you traded away two 20-year-olds and two first-round picks for a guy that you only get him for 20 games guaranteed and that's it?
Yeah.
You look foolish because guess what? The problem is in Philadelphia, they're cash-strapped because their top three guys are all paid $30 million. So what do you need? Young players with low contracts and you need first-round picks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trade them away for
a guy. Plus, you need the draft.
You need the draft.
The draft's huge because those are the guys that they make a basic salary.
Even if
you're a first-rounder, you get so much and you got that three-year window where you don't have to worry about the huge cash.
It was just a poor miscalculation on the side of the Toronto Raptors. If they would have walked out, let's throw hypotheticals. If they would have walked out of a Sixers deal with a player and a pick, I wouldn't have hated that.
Would have been awesome.
If it was a 21 or a 20-year-old player and a first rounder, I would have been fine with that. Yeah. If they went to Miami, because Miami would have to balance the money out, if they would have gone a Duncan Robinson, a Kelly Olynyk, and a first-round pick for Kyle Lowry, I would have been, okay, that's fine. It's the pick that really matters, especially in this situation where the team is looking to get a little bit younger, get a little bit new blood, and it's just a horrible miscalculation that Masai and Bobby Webster thought they were going to get a king's ransom for a 35-year-old point guard who only will play 20 games for you.
And you know what? As good as he is a coach, he would have been one frustrated coach because you've already changed your game plan to regroup. And the team's going downhill right now. And there's nothing you can do about it now. Now you got your best player back, so you can't complain anymore. Yeah. You got your best player.
The expectations were now that this trade didn't happen is that the Raptors would take another run at making the playoffs. And that is not how it's gone. They have lost 12 of their last 13 games. It's probably one of the worst stretches I've seen in a decade.
So what are they talking about, the 7-play-10? What's that all about?
So there's a play-in tournament, play-in game thing. It's something they did last year where 10, 9, 8, and 7 all play each other.
And the winners of these two series
go to the playoffs.
Eight.
Yeah, they go to 7 and 8.
They do it in Europe and hockey.
They did that last year because the standings were so tight.
Yeah.
And because of the condensed season, because of COVID, maybe games get canceled. They figured, this might be a good way for those bubble teams to have a shot at making the playoffs. So as we sit right now, Toronto is the 11th seed.
One game out.
Two games out of the 10th seed. Tied with Washington to drop to 12, one game in front of Cleveland to drop to 13. So if they continue on this stretch of poor performance, they could end up in the 13th spot in the Eastern Conference, which would have them effectively be in the lottery in terms of top five.
Yeah, you want that.
Because the bottom four teams in the NBA right now are the Minnesota Timberwolves, Houston Rockets, Detroit Pistons, who they've lost to three times this
year. Smoked them.
Yeah, and the Orlando Magic. Cleveland is one game behind Toronto, and they are tied with the Washington Wizards, two games behind Chicago.
Cleveland's not going to win too many more games. They just lost Drummond to Lakers.
So from what I understand, you know, I haven't really looked at the schedule, so that's my bad. But in terms of the schedule, apparently they have one of the harder schedules to wrap up the season. Coming up in the next five games is OKC, and then on the road against Golden State, on the road against Washington, on the road against LA, on the road against Chicago, and then they have Cleveland and New York. So this stretch of games for the next 2 weeks
makes the season.
It makes the season. Either they're going up in the standings or they're dropping even further down. And I'm not going to lie, Bowling, I kind of want them to drop all the way down.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to win it.
What's the point?
They can't compete with the big boys.
No. What best case scenario for the Toronto Raptors is they somehow get to the ninth or eighth seed, get in the play-in tournament, win their round, and have to play the Bucks or the Sixers, who will steamroll them, because the Bucks and the Sixers have the one thing the Raptors don't have: size.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
I feel like this Kyle Lowry trade now would have made a lot more sense, because if you're going to bottom out, bottom out all the way. And this isn't an indictment on Nick Nurse. This isn't an indictment on the players. We really got to talk about circumstances. They're playing in Tampa Bay. They're living in rental homes and in hotels. They are using a ballroom as their practice court at a hotel. They all got COVID.
Yeah.
For the most part. The circumstances were so terrible. Let's be honest. It would have been a miracle if they were a top four seed in the Eastern Conference, purely based on the roster they had and the circumstances they were dealing with. I truly feel like if the same roster comes back next year with a lottery pick and, you know, a free agent or two, and they're back in Toronto playing in front of the home crowd, they're back in the playoffs.
I tell you, playing inside in the Toronto stands and their crowd is a big factor for them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's especially because they just ate up basketball. They love it now. It was a while for them, people to, but it's the ticket now. Everybody loves to go to the basketball because it's not as expensive as going to an NHL game.
It's a little bit more interactive.
And they really entertain. The music's unbelievable. They got their cheerleaders. But, you know, it's easier for people to get a ticket.
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
The buyout market is a thing that happens after the trade deadline passes.
That's embarrassing.
So essentially what the buyout market is, veteran players who are on big tickets get bought out by their team, and then they become free agents and they can sign anywhere. So the two big names in the buyout market were Andre Drummond and LaMarcus Aldridge. Andre Drummond is a monster of a human.
Yeah.
He averages 13.5 rebounds a game for his like 10-year career almost. He's an elite rebounder, and he decided to sign with the LA Lakers.
Yeah, like, are you kidding?
So they got better. And then LaMarcus Aldridge, potentially future Hall of Famer,
he goes to the
Brooklyn Nets to come off the bench.
You see, they're five.
So if you their team right now, so they got Durant, household name.
Yeah,
they got Durant, James Harden, household name, Kyrie Irving, household name, DeAndre Jordan was a monster 5-6 years ago, right? Just a rebounding machine. Grabbed Blake Griffin.
Yeah,
right. LaMarcus Aldridge coming off the bench. This team is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And they're winning, so they don't have to play Durant right now. They're resting him a lot, which is good.
If the Brooklyn Nets don't win an NBA title this year, you failed.
You know,
immensely.
It's funny you say that. You know, they're going to be there. I mean, the top three in the East is pretty, it's going to be competitive.
For sure.
And, but, you know, you go to the West. There's always a surprise in the West. Utah's been a big surprise of everybody, like as Denver was last year.
Yeah.
You know, and Utah, like, because they're big.
And they can shoot the three.
Oh, well, that's what I think nowadays. If I had a kid, I wouldn't even tell him to worry about dunking. Just
don't even learn how to dribble. Don't even learn how to dribble.
Shoot from your neighbor's house.
Just
I don't
pass
care.
And shoot.
But you're seeing it, like, you still have to beat that one guy, LeBron.
Yeah.
And he knows he doesn't have a lot of time left.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know it by the way he plays. He's in such great physical condition. Yeah, but he knows that he's only got so many years left. And if you're going to knock him out, you're going to have to you're going to have to come to the table.
And that's what Brooklyn's been doing, right? They've been just loading up with guys, household names, really household names.
I'm surprised KD hasn't called Stephen Curry and said, hey, see if you can get bought out for a year. Come on over here.
Honestly, like, I wouldn't be surprised if like Reggie Miller came out of retirement.
Well, you might as well.
Karl Malone comes out of retirement, you know, try and go ring chasing because they are loaded from top to bottom with – future Hall of Famers, former MVPs, perennial All-Stars. Yes, these players have gotten a little bit older, but they're not like when you look at Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, both starters in the NBA are going to be coming off the bench for the Brooklyn Nets.
It's crazy.
That's just some crazy
stuff.
And
you got a pretty good coach there.
Steve Nash?
Like,
well, we don't know if he's a good coach.
He's a great coach, but you know what? He's dealt with all that kind of superstars.
He's good at juggling personalities, was a superstar. Man. Holy.
Well, that, I mean, sometimes you can't, he's not an X and O's guy probably, but he can handle personalities, and you know what? Like, at least he's getting the respect. It's tough when you got five superstars, and your coach was in college.
Seven or eight.
And now
superstars.
you got a guy that, sorry, but. He was a superstar when he played, so yeah, you better listen.
Multiple MVPs.
Yeah.
Before we take a break, we got to give a quick shout-out to a Canadian company that's associated with the NBA. They're called Dapper Labs. They're a blockchain technology company, and they have secured $305 million in private funding, some of it from current and former NBA players, including Michael Jordan. It is to scale up its virtual NBA trading card site, known as NBA Top Shots. If you haven't heard about NBA Top Shots,
we're talking about that,
they have rung up so far $500 million in sales and registered more than 800,000 accounts since its public beta testing phase began in October. Now, I've talked about this before, but just to reiterate, these are virtual cards that come in the form of a floating digital cube that includes a video highlight of an NBA player and come with a non-fungible token, which is now known as an NFT. It's backed by blockchain technology, certifying its authenticity. An example would be a LeBron James dunk highlight, which you can find on YouTube, sold for $210,000. So now Michael Jordan's getting in on it. Shout out to Dapper Labs, a Canadian company out of Vancouver, British Columbia.
Wow. You know, if you think about it, though, Josh, how smart was that?
Like, genius.
You go and buy a pack of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the time when you get a pack of cards, you don't need them. Need them, got them, need them. Now you got to look and you see it, you watch it. Now you're like, wow, this is cool. So a young kid gets that.
Mm.
He'll learn the game quicker because he's seeing it all actually in his hand, you know, which is awesome.
The genius of NBA Top Shots is they took something that many thought was extinct, and that is the trading card hobby, and they moved it into the new millennium using the Bitcoin thing. The Bitcoin craze, they took the new craze, which is Bitcoin, combined it with the old craze, which is trading cards, and they found this way to capitalize on something that no one really saw coming. And if you're the NFL, if you're the NHL, if you're Major League Baseball, NBA gets 5% of all sales.
How good is that?
So because $500 million, 5% of that now goes to the NBA.
That's awesome.
So you think about the NFL, if a Patrick Mahomes throw or, you know, a Nick Chubb touchdown.
A good example.
It's limitless.
What would Tom Brady's last Super Bowl touchdown to Gronk?
And a highlight. For? Yeah. It's the
they're going to start judging him. You bring that into hockey, too. Like, Connor McDavid. I mean, I know we can all watch it.
A McDavid goal, you know, Ovechkin's 650th, 700th goal, whatever. Pick a number.
It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, it's just.
I think back of it, how what a smart idea for these people to do it. And I think back, I said, imagine if you took a picture and you had that top shots of Wayne Gretzky breaking the all-time record. You know, I mean, you see it once in a while on the news, but to own it.
Let me throw another one out here. The Crosby golden goal.
Yeah.
Only CBC is allowed to actually show footage of that goal. So the highlight of it's actually not in circulation. Yeah. Yes, you can find it on the internet.
Yeah, copy it.
And copy it. But in terms of ownership, it's kind of crazy what they figured out. And, you know, I had a friend reach out to me about a month ago about NBA Top Shots. And I've been kind of reading up on it since then. And what I told him is, the NBA one is flooded right now, but the minute the other leagues start getting into it, that's when you need to jump on.
Yeah.
Because the NBA one is so flooded, there's no point in getting involved in the NBA.
It's too high. The price
is too high. But you betcha that the NFL is going to have one.
Oh, yeah.
You can almost guarantee it.
And the NHL, too. You got to.
You have to.
You're going to have it in baseball, too. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, because these guys have to expand their company. Because you're gonna, if you're making $500 million, they want to make it $5 billion. You know what I mean?
Coming up, we're going to talk the Buffalo Sabres, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the NHL.
Are they still in the NHL?
And the NHL trade deadline. You're listening to The Bullpen here on 93.5.